8:50, The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2000.
For the last time.
Yep. That's right. Next year, it's going to be something else. But you're right now, you're tuned to Computers 2000. On Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our producer, screener, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Our number is 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone. And these are free calls. And Computers 2000 is brought to you today by New Horizons Computer Learning Center. They're offering the Triangle's largest selection of courses. To register for their next Microsoft IT Career Night, call them at 1-800-567-4674. Also brought to you by Intrex, computers made simple, with 5 Triangle locations to serve you. Computers 2000 this morning is also brought to you by Warp Computers, the place for all your computer needs, specializing in parts, networks, and total systems. They're 2822 Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, or you can call them at 872-1156. Yep. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Did you get any viruses this week?
No, I was very fortunate this week.
I saw something, a ha-ha-ha-ha.
Yeah.
Delete. You know, it was interesting.
Was it an attachment or just the...
There was an attachment to it. Something about Snow White or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Snow White and the Little Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Ah.
Amazing. But it's gone. It's no longer there.
It's called the delete button.
The delete button. Not much happened this week, did it?
Well,
not
right.
much.
No, this was the end of the year.
Yeah.
We were going to talk a bit about what happened in 2000 and what our listeners think are the big stories. There were some big stories this year. Remember last year at this time? The biggest story of the year actually started last year at this time when we were all worried about...
Something is going to blow up.
Y2K.
Never did.
And somebody's still probably playing Monopoly in a fallout shelter somewhere with...
Yeah, but you know, this tomorrow, I mean, actually...
Don't tell anybody.
Monday is the actual beginning of...
According to certain calendars.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, according to the Chinese calendar, we've been... You know,
but we
ridiculous.
Don't do Chinese here, do we?
No, or the Hebrew calendar.
Yeah.
But
who was telling me that they so... they so, was it... Paula? Something about a bumper sticker in Florida, in Miami, that says, Lieberman in 5,700 and...
It's a nice calendar, right?
It was interesting. Talking about Y2K, I think Joe just came up with the right name for us for next year.
I think this is a good one.
Yep. Computers.
What is it, Joe?
2K1.
All right,
Rock on.
2K1,
our astute
like
and media savvy producer.
Because 2K1 is the new buzzword. And by the way, if we start talking about how this is the ending of the millennium,
yeah,
as opposed to last year,
you gotta switch your wrist.
Hush your mouth.
Okay.
Because there's something cool about everything turning over and having 2000. Yeah, it's not the new millennium, but so freaking what?
Yeah, he's right. That is it's nice to see it. I mean, it went from 19 to 2. That's correct. I agree. But some people say that this is the first. I don't know.
Because we start counting with 1. We don't start counting with 0. Oh, shut up.
Except in relational database.
You know, that doesn't happen like this overseas. Every time somebody asks me how old I am, I say it depends whether here or... overseas, because over there, I mean, you always sort of like a year...
When you're born.
Right.
That's the same way
in China.
You're
a year older,
yeah,
in a way.
Right.
Here, until you finish the year, that's when you are...
Right.
Interesting. Where else? In China?
In China, yeah. Yeah, you're born with, a year old when you're born.
But anyway, so computers.
2K1.
2K1.
I like it.
Computers 2K1. It's got a ring to it, Joe. Computers 2K1.
Although we should have Hal liners saying, you know, sorry, Amnon. Something like that.
How about Rachel?
No.
No. Or Mark.
Please.
They're joining
don't get into it. yeah, we can do that. Do we have any liners, any kind of CD with liners from that?
I'm sure we can get some.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Do it.
I can't do that, Amnon.
Oh, that's right. You're not. I keep forgetting that he's not here during the week.
Why?
What do you mean, why? He's got a
radio. I heard you on the radio on Friday.
Well, it's over Christmas break, man. It's called that wonderful university that sucks up all my money and time, NC State.
Are they finally going to kick you out?
Actually, scratch that. Oh, my parents' money.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, we were waiting for the phone to ring.
Oh, my parents' money, and then, of course, all my time.
There you go.
Oh, boy. Anyway. So, I interrupted you.
No, I think
what happened this week?
What happened this week? Very little happened this week.
Yeah. Oh.
What happened this week personally? I got DSL started. I told you I'd keep up with the saga.
Uh-huh.
Well, last Friday.
You took
lo and behold.
Did you cancel the line?
Today. I'm going to call and cancel at the end. This actually makes a nice
guy. Yeah, ISDN line.
Yeah.
Don't make a mistake there and cancel the DSL.
No, that would be.
Well, I mean, somebody needs to hold your hand when you do that stuff.
I understand.
Because you don't understand those things.
You're right.
DSL, ISDN, you know, to you, it's the same.
That's right. It's just internet, fast. It isn't a database. I don't know it. Last Friday, true to their word and meeting their commitment to show up on time, only just barely, because they showed up at 9:01. Bell South showed up with my Ethernet modem. Came in.
Mm-hmm.
I said, do you want me to install it? And I said, no, give it to me. And he did. And so then I actually got the thing installed on, I didn't take the time until Sunday. It was Christmas Day I did. And had to call Bell South for a little help because, of course, the installation disk, which is for registration, doesn't work on Windows 2000.
Why?
It just won't install. But they were very helpful over the phone, the gentleman I talked to. Got me registered, got the server set up. Thanks to a terrific product from Netgear. I've got the router all set up. Got a hub. By the end of the week, everything is working fine. And even I'm astonished at how much faster it can be than ISDN. Occasionally. I mean, you know, at times you notice it a bit more than others, but first couple of times, and you go, wham,
and
it appears. It's pretty impressive. Don't know anything about its stability yet because I only had it a week. They do give you an emergency dial-up number in case it goes out. That I was a little unnerved by. What do you mean, in case it goes out? What do you mean, in case it goes out?
It's not an in case. It's a certainty. Not in case, for when it goes down. For when it goes down.
But, yeah, I've got the thing.
And it does.
I know.
And it will. No, stop crying.
But, everything seems to be fine. It was relatively painless installation.
Yeah.
Once you get
Right hardware.
The right hardware.
As in the Netgear.
Well, yeah, the Netgear is a terrific, I mean, it really is a wonderful piece of property. Oh, you can buy those. I was on the web looking, and I think they are in stock. I didn't call, but at Intrex, one of our sponsors, carries both the 313, and it says it carries the 314, which is, or 341.
What's the 313?
Or the 311 and the 314.
311 and 314.
Which
314
are,
has a hub. In
yeah. I was looking on their website, and they say they carry them. So if you're going to get DSL, and you want to share it between more than one computer, which I can't imagine why you wouldn't, or at least give yourself the potential to do that, that's the equipment to buy. And one of our sponsors carries it. So go to them. Yeah, I'm real, real happy. I got a hub. I learned a bit about hubs. I really don't know a lot about network. I learned about uplinks and when the crossover cable had to be there and didn't. One of the neat things about the Netgear hub is it's got a port that you can turn by the push of a button.
Most of them.
Do they?
Yeah.
Ooh, that was cool.
The one I gave you had that. That's why I gave it to you. Well, and of course, you don't have to switch. It's right there. There's a ninth.
Oh, there's a next one, too. That's
one
what that was.
Just
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, there's an uplink and there's one right next to it. But, yeah, I mean, everything works just fine.
Good.
Very happy. And so far, it hasn't gone down, as I say. So I will keep you updated. And it's $40.
Please don't. How much?
$40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's half the price of ISDN.
Yep.
We're still arguing about the price of the modem because I still think it should be zero. They haven't billed me yet. We talked about it this week. We're going to continue the discussion.
The saga continues.
So now you inherit the problems.
No, I don't.
Of the 3COM LAN modem.
I'm just going to hang it on the wall.
And throw things at.
The darts. Did you give me the darts with it?
The darts are there, okay. And there's actually a picture of Saddam Hussein on it that okay. I pointed out so you could throw it.
All right, so we can do that. 860-0850. Let's talk to Larry in Apex. Good morning, Larry.
Well, hi there.
Morning.
I'm glad to see you made it through Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Barely.
almost New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year's Eve.
Thank you.
I have a little question.
Yeah.
I got a CD burner. And what I want to do is record some stuff from cassettes onto the
onto a CD.
Yeah, and don't give an answer like the guy that wanted to set a fax.
No, I don't know that you can do it directly.
Well,
I don't think you can.
Yes, yeah.
It's not going to transfer fast enough from cassette to a CD, and I don't think the mechanism is even built there that will allow you to do it.
Yeah, what I had been told was that you could take, you know, one of those Y plugs, and you go to the line in on the sound card.
I don't know. Hold a second, Larry, because yeah. I think our producer has something to say about that.
One of two ways that I've heard about doing it is one of them is actually record the tape into the computer
right.
onto your hard
yeah.
drive and
right.
then record it down
yeah.
to a...
that's this you can do.
That you can
yeah.
do. Of course, it'll take a lot of time and a lot of memory
uh-huh.
To do that. And the easiest possible way to do it, although it costs a little more money, is to actually buy a stereo component CDR like what Philips or Pioneer makes, and they actually have analog inputs where you can directly connect your tape player to the CDR. And it'll record synchronous with your tape player.
So it wouldn't be the one in the computer. It'd be the one.
It'd be one of those stereo component ones that you buy at like yep. at a stereo store or like a Best Buy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. That the only way to do it is to record it to the computer and then from there to the CD.
Yeah,
but nothing directly.
Yeah, but if you do it on if you record it to the hard drive.
Yeah.
What kind of program would you use?
I would just sound recorder. Anything that will produce a wave. You can go ahead and download the one I use is what is it? Cool Edit.
Okay.
Cool Edit.
I've heard of that.
And you can download it the trial version. Actually, even if it's not a trial version, it allows you to continue using it, but with some restrictions.
Yeah.
And that works great.
Okay.
And then you save it as a wave, and then you go ahead and write it to the CD.
Okay, dope. I knew you
That'll do it.
Yeah, I knew you could help me.
if not me, somebody else here could.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Sure, Larry.
Yep.
Have a happy new year.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. And thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. 860-0850, star at 50 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. So you can take advantage of it, just like Larry. Call and ask a question, and it's nice to be able to.
Yeah, that was cool,
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got Techno Geek over here, who knows all these things about music and...
He knows about a lot of other stuff that we don't know about.
Games, well, we don't want to hear about that, do we?
If you only knew.
Why don't we let him do his thing now and allow him to give the listeners another ticker. When we come back, we'll take your calls and continue talking about what happened in 2000.
Oh, big story.
It just went through, didn't it?
Well, it really did.
So stay tuned. 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star at 50 on your Bell cell phone, Bell to DCS phone, pound at 50 on your Altel cell phone, and these are free calls. Let's go directly to the phones and talk with Jim and Raleigh. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I have Windows 95 installed on a system with 32 megs.
Okay.
And it's been working fine for a long time. Lately, whenever I use the Internet, I can't shut the machine off. I get an error. You know, this program has performed an illegal operation. And when I go and look at the list of programs that are running,
mm-hmm.
it's different things. It's MPRXE. Sometimes it's Explorer. Sometimes it's iDialer. That is, I have a dialer for my Internet service.
Right.
Sometimes, and almost, this problem will always happen when I use the Internet. Sometimes it will happen in standalone mode when I use the printer. And it almost seems like lately it's happening even sometimes when I use it standalone, period. No printer, no Internet.
What actually happens?
I'll be using the computer.
Right.
And all of a sudden, well, most of the time what happens, I will be using the computer. I will go to shut down.
Okay, so you click start.
Yes.
Shut down.
Exactly.
And then shut down, not restart.
No, that's correct. I will click start, shut down. Let's see, it says, do you really want to shut down or something like that?
Correct.
And I'll click, yes, I do. And that's when the error signal, that's when the error window pops up. The message window saying this program has performed an illegal operation.
And you close that program?
I turn off that window.
Right, that's what I mean.
And I'll go down, I'll try, and I'll shut off again. Go through the shut off procedure again.
Uh-huh.
And the window comes back. I just keep going back
the
and forth.
The same one?
I believe so.
Is it always the same program that's doing it again and again, or is it are there different
No, it,
ones?
It can be different program. Most of the time, it is MPRXE. On occasion, it'll be something else, like Explorer or iDialer.
It sure sounds like your operating system, like Windows, is all messed up. Because if it's different ones, what you can do next time is if you see that, let's say, iDialer is screwed up.
Yes.
And you close the window. Before you do a shutdown again, do Control-Alt-Delete.
Yes.
And see if there is a program there that's not responding.
Well, I have done that, too.
Uh-huh.
And, yes, there is. And I'll shut that thing down.
Okay.
And I'll go. Then I'll try to shut down. You know, shut down the computer again.
Yeah.
And I'll still have the same. Now you're going to ask me if it's the same program. It's a problem. I'm not.
You
sure
don't remember? That. Okay.
I don't remember that.
Next time, yeah. Go ahead and shut everything. End all the tasks except Explorer.
Except Explorer.
Now Explorer is actually your operating system. It's not the browser.
Yes, I understand. It's Windows itself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So. End all the tasks.
Everything.
And just leave Explorer and then try to shut down.
Okay, and what if I can't?
I would say reinstall Windows. Well, before I do that, actually, I would go and reseat all the hardware, the cards, the memory,
yes.
connectors, stuff like that.
Yes. Is it possible that I don't have enough memory, the 32 megs is too small?
No, that's got nothing to do with that.
That would affect the performance, but not
Correct.
The shutdown, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're saying reseat the hardware, and secondly, perhaps reload the operating system.
Yep.
Would it be a wise thing for me at this point to upgrade to 98?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, why don't you go directly to ME?
Or maybe ME, huh?
Yep. ME has proved itself.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Sure.
Enjoy your program.
Have a happy new year.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jim. 860-0850, star 50 on your Bell cell phone, Bell to DCS phone, pound at 50 on your Altel cell phone, and these are free calls. So, Joe wanted to, what were you wondering, Joe? Why don't we have what?
I was just wondering, it's going to be 2001, and since I was growing up, I've been watching movies and stuff that say we should have certain things by 2001.
Right.
You know, I'm just wondering what those things might be.
Maybe we'll have a cool computer. What about that talking computer?
Well, okay, if you look at Star Trek, by now we should have talking computers with sexy voices.
Well, we do. You just don't know where they are.
Where are they?
Well, they have them in prototypes.
No. You didn't hear what he said. He said, we should have.
Oh, we don't.
What I'm talking about is, like, I can just sit here in my little producer room that I'm in. I should be able to say to the computer, go, computer, yes. You know, something like that.
Did you try to pick up the mouse and talk to
him? No, this isn't Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, where I'm Scotty and I pick up the mouse and I go, computer, and he doesn't know anything. And, of course, and speaking of Star Trek, we should have already reached warp speed by now, thus enabling the Vulcans to make contact with us. That hasn't happened yet, so Star Trek is obviously wrong.
No, wait a minute.
They're absolutely wrong.
What?
You mean we haven't made contact yet? Speak for yourself.
Oh, you made contact with the Vulcans?
Well, some of them are my best friends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And warp speed? Have you been on the Los Angeles freeway lately?
We should have jetpacks by now.
Now, that's something we don't have that I would like.
I mean, we should have little jetpacks by now that can just, you know, we slap them on and, you know, one of the class, and you zip off the class or work or whatever. And speaking of which, if you look at the Jetsons, we shouldn't even have to walk anymore. We should have moving sidewalks.
That's right.
Right.
Now, we do have those in some airports,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, but they go really slow.
Yeah.
And I might as well just walk. You know?
Yeah, you want something in which you get on it, you go, whoa!
Exactly. And it just zips you right to the place you want to go
yeah.
to. Hover cars. I remember when I was a little kid, me and my cousin used to talk all the time, like, man, when I turn 16, we're going to have flying cars. Not going to happen.
Well, you do, but the problem is they flew and then you see them around a tree.
Right. My point is, have you been on the L.A. freeway lately? You might be flying cars.
No, you know what I mean. I need hover cars, like Back to the Future-style hover cars,
yeah,
man.
I know. It's. I was telling you during the break that when I was like 10 years old at the Y in Jerusalem, in the library, there was a book about 1985. That was the name of the book. And it was in there. They had a lot of things of what's going to happen in the future. And the thing that fascinated me the most was one of those guys with the backpack with rockets or whatever it is, and you know, you hold with your arms there and steering it, and then you're flying, you know, 10-20 feet above ground. And they say this is going to be what people are going to be doing. This is how we're going to be moving from one place to another.
Where the hell are my robot maids?
Where are the fembots?
Where are the fembots? I want my robot maids.
Fembots!
And of course, when you have robots that are loyal to you, you have to have the evil contingent of robots as well.
Right.
Like in Terminator. That, like a Skynet or something.
Do we have anybody out there who is listening to us who can call in and participate in this? What would you have liked to see happen by now in your life that has to do with technology? What are you disappointed that didn't happen yet, that you're still waiting for?
Virtual reality fizzled out.
Well, yes,
yeah, it did.
Virtually.
I'm talking about virtually. Like you put the headset goggles and you've got your crazy gloves and you walk around and you have like a virtual girlfriend. That type of stuff.
Uh-huh. I think reality.
Look at Larry.
I think reality's better.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, you remember, I don't know, like early 90s, it was all about, ooh, play virtual Doom and you can walk around.
A lawnmower man.
Yeah, lawnmower man and all this stuff. And you're supposed to be able to, like, do all this better and stuff. Virtual reality sucked.
went away, yeah.
It just went away.
860-0850, star at 50 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound at 50 on your Alltel cell phone. Call. Let us know what you're missing that you thought would be here by now.
Where's my 7-course meal that comes in a tiny pill?
Well, you go down to GNC.
Oh, yeah. That,
you can get them, but they don't taste very good.
No, I'm talking about a 7-course meal, and, like, you can taste it all, man.
Oh,
now, yeah. Like, oh, here's the mashed. Oh, can you taste the mashed potatoes?
That's the year 3000 when we can
taste
it all.
Oh, okay.
2001, you get
it. No, it wasn't supposed to be 3000 nothing.
Well, but this is if, I mean, they're revising.
Who is the one who's revising this? I want to talk to the person who's doing the revisions. I mean,
we should also.
You ask who's revising this? And the ship hovers all the time? You really ask that?
Clothes, as we know it, should be different, too. I mean, we should be wearing aluminum foil style jumpsuits.
Reflective.
Check the latest GQ out. They got them.
Okay.
no, you're right. A lot of this stuff. just hasn't happened.
Now, if you look at 2001, the actual movie, the Stanley Kubrick movie, I mean, yes. By now, Howard Johnson's and Pan Am would already have franchises out in space.
Right.
Pan Am would actually be flying us to the moon,
right.
In which we would have colonies with the Soviet Union.
How?
About the Soviet Union, Pan Am, and Howard Johnson don't exist anymore.
Well, we have some kind of colony with the Soviet Union right now. The
doesn't work very well. Sure,
it doesn't matter, but it's the closest thing.
True.
Come on.
That we know about.
That we know about, that's correct.
We could have landed in Roswell. I mean,
the other day I was thinking about, you know, they're putting another satellite here, another space station there, and low orbiting satellites for this and that. Is the time going to come when they're going to launch something and it's just going to hit something? Because you're going to have to go through a hole somewhere to get out of this.
Obviously, haven't watched enough space movies. Yes, that time will come and it will hit something.
Just you can't help it but hit something, because there'll be a ceiling over us,
right?
Of all kind of things like that. Yeah, I think we're lucky to live now, and we're not going. And we know we're not going to live then, and we can enjoy it.
But I would love
but the taxes.
I think what we really miss is efficient, fast, and safe space travel. Right? I mean, don't you want to go to visit another planet where you could? I mean, that would be the coolest thing, and we haven't got it yet.
Hey, Don.
Hi, I'm on.
Hey.
I had a comment on your voice operated robots.
Uh-huh.
I had a career in the Air Force, and back in the 50s, we had an airplane which is ahead of its time called a B-58.
Uh-huh.
And that. They used to have red lights that would come on, you know, and bells would flash when you'd have something go wrong, and they decided that this was raising people's heart rates too much, so they got some sexy girl with a voice, and they recorded all these emergency messages. So you'd be flying this thing along, and all of a sudden you'd hear, check your right oil pressure. But the trouble with it is... The trouble with the system was that the guys were simulating emergencies just to hear the girl's voice. So they took it out.
Only in America! Didn't they have a car like that? Wasn't one of the automobiles, didn't they have a talking dashboard or something?
Yeah, I think it was a Toyota or something, yeah.
Your door is open.
Your door's open.
Really?
And your people would just keep on opening the door just to hear. Good one. Good one, Don.
We'll see you.
Thank you. Have a happy new year. John, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Not much. How are you?
And actually, those were early Sirius Nissans that had the voice-operated
model. All right. Okay, that's what it was.
My question is, hopefully you guys can help me. It's probably quite simple. That's why I'm probably overlooking it. I've got Internet Explorer 5.5. Just got it probably about a month or two ago. Well, I was resetting some of the settings in the Internet tool compartment there. And, you know, where you have, it asks you how many megs you want to use for your temporary Internet folder?
Right.
Well, I kept putting on 4 megs, or 2 megs actually, and error message just kept popping up, you know, prompting me to put something in there. It just kept coming up zero. And, I didn't know what was going on. So when I canceled, of course it canceled, and, you know, it was no problem. But I was wondering, did I do something wrong? Was there, is this some sort of bug or something going on there that would cause that to happen?
Larry says he can answer.
Just go to the restore defaults. And you'll be
okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Just you'll be fine with the button that says restore defaults.
I mean, just go back to the default. And
yeah, and it's probably because you were trying to put too little, as opposed to, you know, they really want you to do too.
What are you putting, 2 or 2048?
Actually, you know what? Actually, I just put 2.
Okay, no, 2 is like 2 bytes, 2K.
Yeah, they hate that. Yeah, you can't do anything in there.
You probably want, I mean, if you want to adjust it, go to the defaults like Larry said. Look at the number there.
Right, and start with that and go
and
up.
Start with that. Now, if you want to put 2 meg, you should put 2048.
Okay, and I guess you know something. I guess that's right, and I'm glad you guys made me aware of that.
Now,
because I've been helping some people set up their computers, and These newer computers that come out, they usually have 246 in the box already when you first plop, you know, in the next 5.5.
Uh-huh.
Oh, guys, I'm glad you helped me with that. I appreciate that. Now, I thought that my system was getting kooky or something.
Now 2 meg is not big enough.
Right.
You want to put it like 20, 30.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And a happy new year. And your calls are coming up next. Right, we'll talk about it when we come back. Right after Joe does another ticker, right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 50 on your Bell cell phone, Bill for DCS phone, pound 50 on your Altel cell phone, and these are free calls. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
This morning. Got a question for you. I was with my mother-in-law's computer this week, and she had a error message, and I wanted to run it past you.
Okay.
It won't go into Windows anymore. It comes up and it says general failure reading C colon.
Oh.
Does that mean the hard drive's bad?
Yep. Well, it doesn't mean that it's bad. It means that something got corrupted on it. It may be bad. I mean, does it do it right away or after a while? I mean,
sometimes it'll come up and say, you know, put it into safe mode or normal or whatever. If I put it into safe mode, the Windows screen pops up, but it never does run. The only way I can get it to, you know, get into DOS is by using a boot disk.
Okay, well, that sounds like something really got corrupted. Without looking at it, I can't tell you what if it's the hard drive itself that the hardware is gone or it just needs to be formatted,
disked
and formatted. But it's not the trivial thing.
Yeah, it didn't sound
She's got a serious problem.
Well, let me ask you this: I went in and got some files off using DOS commands.
Okay, that's good. And you see, now what you're telling me tells me that that drive is okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you probably just need to, if this can format it.
Okay. Is there a format in DOS? What my problem is, I'm copying some of these files,
yeah,
and they're bigger than 1.44.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a DOS command that will allow me to pull it over two or three diskettes before I have to lose all that info?
Larry, is there something? Is
Xcopy?
Xcopy. Would Xcopy allow you to, yes, span? Use Xcopy.
Okay. Xcopy and then file and then to A colon?
Yeah, I can't remember the command. It's Xcopy a range of files, like a directory. You may be able to just put a file name in space, and you put A colon backslash star dot star. And if you're doing a whole directory, then you can put a slash S.
Slash S?
Yeah, for a whole directory and subdirectories.
Okay, now the slash S comes after the A colon or after the C?
No, it's at the end of the line.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate your help, sir.
Yeah, and then make sure that you make a bootable disk if you can. Well, you do have a bootable disk, obviously.
Yeah, we have a bootable disk.
Make sure you put on it F disk.
Uh-huh.
Format.
Uh-huh.
Edit. Find out on the C drive if you can go in and find out what driver the CD-ROM is using.
Right, so
it'll be in the config sys and copy that over there too.
Okay.
I think that's
all you need. Or?
No, you don't need the autoexec and all that. I mean, because it's going to create a new one when you install Windows.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, you're right. Go ahead and copy autoexec and config sys over, but edit the autoexec bat and take the RAM statement out so it start, because normally Windows will RAM out the CD-ROM driver in the autoexec.
Okay.
And you don't want it, it shouldn't be RAMed out. It should be active. And make sure that's the only thing that's in the autoexec. Delete everything else.
Delete everything but the RIM statement?
No, delete everything except the RAM statement is say RAM by Windows, and then it'll say C colon backslash Windows backslash command backslash MSCDX, whatever.
Uh-huh.
You want that line to start with the C colon.
Okay.
Delete the RAM and by Windows in front of it. And then delete everything else that's on different lines. So the only thing you want in the AutoExec is the driver, the MSCDX driver.
That's the, okay.
So that's for the CD driver for, and you want to also bring that one into your floppy.
Okay.
From C colon backslash Windows backslash command backslash you copy mscdex.exe over to your floppy. Then in the config sys, the only thing you want in there is the actual hardware driver for the CD. And you'll see, I mean, that's probably the only thing in there anyway.
Okay.
And then don't forget to fdisk. Don't just format, but fdisk.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah. And so you think the hard drive's probably okay then if I can get stuff off it.
Yeah, if you can read stuff off of it. Now, there may be a bad spot on it, and you'll find out when you're formatting. It'll come up if you see it that it says trying to recover. Then you know that it's bad. Don't allow it to do it because it's not worth it. Hard drives are cheap enough today. Because if it starts doing it, it's going to do it more and more and more.
Okay, so it might just be worth just getting a new hard drive.
Yeah, if you have an instance of recovering or trying to recover, then stop it. Go get another drive.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate your help, guys.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz and a happy new year. And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 50 on your Bell cell phone, Bell TDCS phone, pound 850 on your Altel cell phone. And these are free calls.
Yes.
Do I hear it? The ship
is actually just sort of circling today, waiting for the Bush presidency so that we can change everything.
It's out there, isn't it?
Well, it's out there. It came by just to say hello to a little guy who's a friend of mine by the name of Ethan.
A little
E-man. I had a great privilege of... He's a little buddy friend of mine. I was with him last night, and I was telling him all about Dune. He likes Dune. So the ship is here. Says hello to Ethan, and it's out of here.
And no happy new year, no nothing.
Well, it'll be a happier new year for us. Microsoft had several big things happen this year. Not all of them good. We got hammered by the Justice Department. We turned around and got hammered by all the viruses because they attack Microsoft products.
I think this may be why I love the fact that Gore lost.
Why?
Because of boys.
A boys?
We'll see.
We don't want to get into this. But we also released Windows 2K this year. So in all, it was a mixed year. Stock still sucks, but...
No, it doesn't.
Our stock does.
No.
It's down in 49, 50. Oh, yes. Nah. Utility stocks do well. In fact, maybe
what
that...
comes down...
Must go up.
Must go up.
We hope so! You know, speaking of the big stories of the year, that could have been... The non-event of Y2K was certainly one of them. The stock market is probably the one that is on everybody's mind even more so now, that the tech stocks just got hammered this year.
Yeah, it's just because it's on more minds.
Well, it affects...
Because of all these day traders and people that don't know what they're doing.
It affects the thing that every one of us value, or have to value, money. I mean, it affects, stock pensions and our pensions and stock plans and... We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'm not real convinced that it's altogether a bad thing because it's shaking out the market of a lot of companies that should never have been in business.
Never been there, absolutely.
They
took advantage of the fact that a lot of people out there don't know enough.
Right.
And let's go do it. What happened to Red Hat?
Well, Red Hat's worth about what it should be now.
Where is it?
In the 20s. I think
it's
in the 20s.
Where did it start?
Well, it started at... The original, I think it was 17 was the original IPO.
Yeah.
Went up to 120-something, I think, at its height.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, only in the sense that the stock market never makes any sense. Yeah. It's just a big gamble based upon a bunch of brokers making a bunch of money.
Linux replacing Windows.
Well, that's right. It will never happen. Never.
It never will.
It will continue to challenge Windows. It will continue to be a viable operating system for server markets.
Servers. I don't see any challenge to Windows.
On a desktop?
Yeah.
No, not widespread.
Nope.
No. In fact, the funny part is everyone puts on Linux. People who put on Linux on their desktops or on their laptops turn around and then use X Windows a GUI interface.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, Microsoft with Windows 2K finally has an operating system that works most of the time pretty well. It's taken them a long time, but, you know, almost everybody I know who is using Windows 2K seems to be pretty happy with it. Now, this is not, it's not an enterprise-level operating system, or hasn't been tested well enough yet to call it that, but for personal computers, I think that's one of the...
The security is the only problem.
Well, but that's not even Windows. That's more Office. I mean, that's the problem, because Office is so tied together as a set of applications that you wall off one at the expense of walling off all of them. So, you know, so the moment you make Outlook, the email client, or Outlook Express, an email client, accessible, you've opened up everything, and then your system files. Yeah, I mean, you... It
well,
gets
I
to
mean,
you
any
via
way you
Office.
Look, any way you look at it, I mean, it's the operating system. It's a Microsoft problem. Let's put it
yes, that it absolutely is.
Yeah,
we admit it. Sorry, Bill.
No, nothing to be sorry, Bill. It's a problem. Fix it.
Well,
no, sorry.
Microsoft has always valued and promoted market share and features over security. And that's been its philosophy. It needs to turn around because two of the other, if you think about other big issues that came to the fore in 2000, security is one of the biggest. We ain't got enough. The love bug showed us that. I mean, overnight, big companies were down. And I mean, you know my case. We were down for 3 days, an entire, entire utility company.
And it hurt bad.
Oh.
All right. So. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm your only host for the next hour now. Along with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
And our producer, Joe. And our number is 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell cell phone, Bell to DCS phone, pound 850 on your Altus cell phone. And these are free calls. And this morning's show is brought to you by New Horizons Computer Learning Center, offering the Triangle's largest selection of courses. To register for their next Microsoft IT Career Night, call them at 1-800-567-4674. We're also brought to you by Intrex, computers made simple, with 5 Triangle locations to serve you, to better serve you. And last but not least, Warp Computers, the place for all your computer needs, specializing in parts, networks, and total systems. They're 2822 Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, or you can call them at 872-1156. And like we promised you earlier, we have with us online Ralph Bond, Consumer Education Manager for Intel Corporation. Ralph, you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
I was going to say, what's your name? And you should have said Bond. Ralph Bond.
I'm only halfway exciting, and it's at the back end.
Are you one of the blue guys, by the way?
No, not that talented.
Oh, okay.
Although I'd love to be. Those guys have a ball.
Yeah, they look like they do.
Oh, yeah. They're quite a remarkable act. I don't know if you guys have ever seen their show.
My wife did. She told me, you know, these guys are real.
Yeah.
They play all these weird instruments with pipes coming all over. I don't know.
Yeah. That's quite a show.
Anyway, you called us today to talk about the Consumer Electronics Show.
Right. Very exciting show coming up in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
January 6th through 9th in Vegas, and it is the coming together of the entire world's consumer electronics community, and we're happy to say Intel's a part of that these days with everything going digital, digital camcorders, digital TV, digital this, digital that. The good old personal computer, of course, of which we're a part of that industry, has been digital from day one. So
right.
It's a wonderful opportunity now for all of us in the industry and for consumers to see what's happening as we're going all digital. And furthermore, it seems like we're all going wireless these days as well.
So what are the hottest trends in consumer electronics?
There are so many trends. There are so many segments of the consumer electronics market.
Where does the PC fit in?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go through, if I may, some of the hot areas, and then we'll talk about the PC
sure.
fitting in. You bet. Super strong, continues to be strong, and projected to be very strong this coming year, 2001. Of course, digital cameras and digital camcorders. In the digital camera area, the Consumer Electronics Association, that's the organization that sponsors the Consumer Electronics Show that I talked about, says in 2001, the camera, digital camera market itself will be a $2.9 billion business in the United States alone.
That's wow.
just remarkable. I mean, it's exploding at the seams as consumers are beginning to catch on to what digital cameras can do. And equally important, we can talk about this a little bit later from a consumer buyer's guide point of view,
mm-hmm.
what digital cameras can't do. So there's an important distinction there. But I think for me personally, and I've been involved with this now over the last several months, having purchased one myself, digital camcorders. This is really coming on strong because many of these models can not only take digital still pictures for you, but they can also make the high-quality digital movies. So that's one area. Another area that's very interesting to watch as we go into the new year is what we call home networking. At work, you may have your personal computers networked together. You're able to go out on the Internet through a high-speed connection, and all the computers can share that connection. Or equally important and maybe more easy to understand immediately is being able to share one or more printers among multiple users. Well, people have been doing that at work for years. Now they want to do it at home because the statistics show that about 20 million or so homes in the United States have now more than one computer, and people are looking for ways to tie them together. So that's a hot trend. In that area, wireless technology is really coming on strong.
How fast do you have them go?
The wireless technologies for local area networking in the home range from about the 1.6 megabits per second in one of the wireless technologies
mm-hmm.
up to about 10 megabits
wow.
per second in the 802.11 technology. So there's a whole spectrum of technologies out there to deliver data at differing rates.
Mm-hmm.
And there's wonderful products at the very cost-effective end. For example, Intel has a line of products called the AnyPoint home networking
right.
line of products. And we have wireless and telephone line-based offerings and so on. And that's a good indication of what's going on in the marketplace, looking for ways to make this as inexpensive and relatively easy to install and operate as possible. Of course, the other big hot area continues as we roll into 2001, digital music. We all certainly watch what happened with MP3 music and all
mm-hmm.
the issues surrounding that, but it's not going to stop. Digital music's here to stay, and we're going to see more and more of these small, palm-sized personal players. That technology is getting more and more exciting as we see manufacturers put more memory into these products and more features. And then we at Intel are going to be talking at the show a great deal about what we call the extended PC era that we're entering into, and I'd love to tell you a little bit more about that.
I sure hope the PC is not going to be extended.
Well, you know, now you have hit one of my hot buttons. Because, yes, I'm in the PC business. I'm with Intel, and, of course, if you know us at all, you know us as the world's leading maker of brain chips for personal computers over these many years.
Mm-hmm.
Be that as it may, I'm passionate about this subject of the post-PC era that we've heard so much about in this past calendar year. And I think, for me, the situation is pretty simple. The personal computer is not going away, but it's simply no longer alone. We used to have the home, if you will, to ourselves, and there really was no viable alternatives or even viable complements to the personal computer, which is more accurate to say. I think the personal computer, in my soapbox, if I can drag it out here on stage and stand up and start shouting, the PC, I believe, is going to remain the best on and off the net experience station, is the way I like to describe it, in the home. But it's not going to be alone, and its virtues and its value and its utility is going to be extended, and this is the theme that we're very keen on these days at Intel, extending the PC and its value and its ability to deliver great internet experiences throughout the home through very interesting products. Here's another hot trend, these wireless web access tablet products we started seeing people talk about
mm-hmm.
even at last CES.
Yep.
And throughout the year, you may know we've seen a few offerings come out and some interesting things going on. Watch us, because we are going to be showing some prototypes of wireless tablet-like devices, pad devices, if you will, that have a symbiotic relationship with the home PC and allow the user to tap the screen with a stylus and surf the internet anywhere in the house. And I think you're going to see more of that, not only from us, but others in the industry.
Good. Let me remind our audience that we're talking with Ralph Bond, Consumer Education Manager with Intel Corporation. Go on. I don't even want to stop you. I mean, this is really fascinating. Can we go back and talk about cameras? Or
certainly, yes, absolutely. The camera market is really great for consumers these days.
Let me just say this.
Yeah,
I had to buy one about being in the internet business. Mm-hmm. I had to buy one about 4 years ago.
Yeah,
and it was something like $1,400.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a classic example. It's a wonderful example of how a technology. Let's go back 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. How much did it cost to buy a CD-ROM burner?
Right.
Remember what that was like? My gosh, that was what, $3,000 or something like that? It was just so far out. Only certain people in our company had those in their labs where they were required to make demonstration discs and other things of this nature. It was very esoteric because consumers who could afford $3,000 or justify it. Now, as you and I know, you can walk into the store and pick up a CD-ROM burner for, I don't know, $150 or something. Yep. So it's very modest. And many, many times now in the modern PCs, that feature's built in. Well, let's look at how that compares to digital cameras. I think we've seen even a more dramatic percentage-wise drop in prices, you suggest, in those products. We now have products in the digital camera area in the $500 range that are very, very good for general-purpose consumer use, going all the way down to the under the $200 range. And if I may, I'll explain where we're at in that segment of the market. Under $200, you can pick up what I call little cameras that will do internet-ready photographs. Uh-huh. Good enough for attachments on emails.
Right.
Good enough for a picture to be posted on a family website, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And our company, by the way, we have a line of PC cameras. These are cameras, you may recall, you've seen them before. They sit on top of the monitor. They have a little cable that connects to the PC, and you can see snapshots of short movies or this sort of thing. We have recently, last couple of months, come out with the Pocket PC camera, the Intel Pocket PC camera. It's $149, and what we did there is we said, wouldn't it be great if you could detach your PC camera, carry it around with you if it had its own memory, its own power source, and take snapshots and take short little digital movies and bring it back to the PC and reconnect it and have all the features and qualities that you know in a PC camera. That's what we've done with this product. I think you're going to see more of that kind of product, these PC cameras that are portable, from us and from other companies as we go into 2001. So the good news there for consumers is there are price point or entry points now under $200 for you and your family to get your feet wet in this digital imaging world and then go on and grow from there as you see fit. It's very, very exciting. But I'll tell you what, I think what's more exciting in some respects is the explosion of the digital camcorders where you can take still images and digital movies and then get all that content into your PC. I've been playing around with that for the last 6 months. It's just a ball.
And so the camera can do a little short videos.
Yes.
And, of course, take stills. The camcorder does movies or videos, but it can also take stills.
That's correct. Yeah, if you look at today's contemporary camcorders, and I've been watching that market very closely this past year, there are a number of ways this is done. In some cases, the quote-unquote still image is actually put onto the tape, the digital tape, in the camcorder. Or, in some cases, the Sony product line is a classic example. They may use their memory stick or other companies may use the little flash memory cards, if you will, that are put into the body of the camera, and you put X quantity of photographs, digital stills, on those. You take them out. Sometimes you put those little cards, those little flash cards, into a floppy disk adapter and then pop it into your PC and get your pictures that way. There's a variety of schemes, and if you're looking at that as a consumer thinking about purchasing a digital camcorder, you want to look at what are the different options for getting those pictures from the camera into your PC. And also, if you're thinking about doing home digital movie making, this is one area where power in your personal computer has tremendous purpose beyond just making games fun and exciting. And this is one of my real hot buttons. At the CES show, our booth is going to demonstrate how, for example, in our case, Pentium 4 processor machines are delivering significant and measurable value to consumers beyond just making their games exciting. I think one of the things that frustrates me in the chair that I sit in is so often the press just says, oh, great. great. Here's a Pentium 4 processor, and if you're a gamer, it's great. If you're not, forget it. It's not for you. And I can tell you from my own personal home experience with a Pentium 4 processor, doing things like home digital movie making, it does make a significant contribution to improving performance, even over, get this, a Pentium 3 1 gigahertz machine. There's definitely a difference.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's quite remarkable. Well, I've been doing some tests at home, and we've been doing tests here at Intel. For example, using the Canon EJ music, digital music. This is the Ripper, a program that allows you to rip tracks or convert files and formats. Even over a 1 gigahertz Pentium 3 processor, we were getting 25% faster in file conversion and other other activities in that kind of a program. So 25% benefit with a Pentium 4 over even a P3 1 gigahertz. There is, however, one qualifier I want to make very clear to keep this truth in lending status clear. That's if the program has been written to take
right.
advantage of the new capabilities and features of the Pentium 4.
But so,
even with that said, though, I'll tell you this. Even unoptimized software, as it were, I've seen significant improvements in my own personal homebrew testing.
When somebody buys a Pentium 4,
yeah.
Do you guys send any kind of software with it so they can take advantage of it?
What we'll do and what we are doing, if you come out to our website,
okay.
www.intel.com, a good, easy website to remember, poke around there, go through the whole Pentium 4 areas. There'll be information about software that has been
good.
Optimized. And, of course, if you're a brand-new purchaser of a Pentium 4 processor, look at the software boxes of the software you're looking for, particularly in the areas of multimedia authoring. Because remember, the Pentium 4, if I can give another few bits of background about this processor, the Pentium 4 is not just a faster Pentium 3 that we arbitrarily decided to call Pentium 4 from this point forward. Not at all. This is a completely new microprocessor design, new from the ground up. It's our first new microprocessor design in 5 years, and it is designed not so much to accelerate the day-to-day office applications like word processing and that sort of thing, which a lot of the tests, by the way, that you've heard about,
right,
publicly disclosed tests, focus primarily on general business applications,
correct,
like Excel or Word, and that's terrific. But this processor was designed for where the Internet's going in the future and for things in multimedia like music, as I described before, or digital home movie making and production,
mm-hmm,
or multimedia delivered over the Internet using broadband technology. You can see some remarkable results with the Pentium 4. And we can talk about that later if you want to, although I want to go back into some of the other general consumer product areas as well. And, of course, games. But it's much more than just games.
Ralph, do we have a bunch more to talk about?
Oh, sure. We can.
Okay,
you can wind me up and keep me going as long as you want.
No, that's fine. I mean, this is very interesting stuff, but we have to break away for
all right.
For a commercial, I mean, if you hold on,
I'd be happy.
We'll be back. Okay, thanks. Okay, your calls and more from Ralph coming up after the break right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. We are going to continue now our conversation with Ralph Vaughn, Consumer Education Manager for Intel Corporation. Ralph, you there?
I am here.
Welcome back. Larry wants to ask something, my co-host.
Ralph,
okay.
Question for you on the P4, because you just finished talking about it.
Right.
Is it, in fact, a new generation of processing? Is it not based upon x86 technology?
It's going to be backward compatible with any applications you have from the previous generations. And what it has is it has 144 new capabilities. Its instruction set has been extended, and it is a brand new microprocessor designed from the ground up. So it's a fascinating processor from my point of view. And again, as I want to stress to your audience and to all of you, it is beneficial to more than just the gamers.
Okay, so it is an x86 processor plus. I mean, extended.
Well, yes, I guess you could
the,
put it
the,
that
the
way.
Base is, the skeleton is there still, the good old skeleton, but it does a whole lot more.
Exactly. And it's good old skeleton in the sense that it certainly will play and run your programs that you've had
right.
in the past, which has always been a hallmark, I think, of one of the qualities about the good old PC side of the market is that we have not left users and applications on the dust.
Behind. Right. No, that's for sure. That nobody can argue that. you want to ask something else, Larry?
No, I just wondered, was the Itanium the next one, the next generation?
Well, now that's a great question. The Itanium is aimed at the server market, so not for the consumer desktop.
Okay.
And that's a 64-bit.
That's the brand new technology.
That's the one that's coming from us that is, again, aimed at the server market. So for the consumer space, the Pentium 4 is our processor as we now go aggressively into the next couple of years.
What happened with that Xeon?
The Xeon's doing very, very well in the server market today. So that's Xeon's, and in fact, if you're interested in that area, what's fascinating to me is the four-way, eight-way solutions. In other words, you have a server with its motherboards and so forth with multiple Xeons in place to meet the needs of the server market today, the consumer,
so is
rather
that
the e-business.
So where's that Itanium fall?
Well, the Itanium would be the next jump up in technology capability.
From Xeon.
Power. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Simply
right.
put, yeah,
okay.
simply put.
Okay.
A lot of times these product roadmaps run in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
You have differing, it's sort of like the car business. You have certain models of car to meet certain market segments,
right.
and certain price points and so on and performance, and it's very much akin to that in some respects.
Okay, so let's go back to what you were talking about before and let you continue exciting us.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I can do a segue for 2 seconds.
Sure.
Here, I'm calling you from Portland, Oregon, or just
right.
outside of Portland, Oregon. You're a sports station, right?
Normally it's a sports station.
Well, I'll tell you what, we couldn't be prouder of our great Oregon Ducks and their victory. So I just have to throw that in for all of my Duck friends.
All right.
That's all right. It was a joyous day in Oregon. Even our rivals, the Beavers, were happy for us.
Oh, I'm not even going to get into that.
No, go there, because that'll light up the switchboard.
You have to understand, Emma doesn't understand college football. It's the Oregon State Beavers. The Oregon
yeah, that's
Ducks.
Right. They're a great team. Fortunately, I didn't go to either one of those schools, so I can remain kind of a neutral. Okay, well, enough sports talk on that. So, yeah, I want to say a few more things about the Consumer Electronics Show for
yeah.
listeners who may not be familiar with it. And if you're anywhere traveling, if any of your listeners happen to be out in the Las Vegas area early in January, January 6th through 9th, don't miss it. It is, unlike many trade shows, it is open to the public. It is possible to walk in and plunk down your money. I don't recall exactly what it costs. And come into the show and see this wonder world. You've got about 200,000 attendees. It's one of the largest trade shows in the world.
Wow.
You have representation from more than 100 countries around the world, and their companies respectively are there. 30 product categories. Unbelievable. 30 product categories, everything from, of course, the car stereo stuff, which is hilarious. You go down the aisles and you go through the car stereo zone and you have all these crazy cars with these. You talk about boombox wars. Unbelievable. You have to actually literally wear earplugs in that part of the show. And you have, of course, the whole range of home appliances, home networking things, infrared technology, mobile electronics, digital music things, the camcorders we talked about before. Also, the cell phone industry and the hot area there, of course, is consolidation. And by that, I mean, I've observed a lot, and I'm sure you have too, this big trend in the cell phone area of saying, well, wait a minute, maybe my cell phone can surf the web wirelessly and give me a certain limited bit of text information from the web, but maybe I can put an MP3 digital music player capability into that phone,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I can even put in the ultimate guy solution, a GPS, global position satellite, finding location technology.
So we know where we're going.
So we know where we're going.
So we don't have to ask questions.
No ask. So that kind of technology, the consolidation of features and capabilities into the cell phone is very important. By the way, your listeners might find it interesting to know that Intel, we're much more than just a brain chip company. We're also a leading supplier of memory to the cell phone industry, by the way. So there's Intel. There's Intel around the world in many different ways you might not be aware of. And talking about a big surprise, it may be surprising to you and your listeners to know that Intel's also a toy maker. We have a line of PC toys called the Intel Play line. If you want to learn about that, go to www.intelplay.com. And at the CES show, of course, we'll be showing off our retail-branded consumer toy products. We have a microscope that hooks up to the PC. We have a wonderful little product called the Mi 2 Cam, which is a video camera, PC camera, if you will, that connects to the PC, of course. And what it does is it allows the child's body to be put into a 3D animation game, like a snowboarding game or a pinball game. You think of the technology that weather people use to make it look like they're standing in front of a map of the United States. that same technology essentially is put into this game product. Kids can play five different games. It's wonderful. Then we also have a new product for us, new this past holiday season, is the Sound Morpher. It looks like this wild, space-agey, kind of cell phony-looking little device, palm-sized device that the kids can run around the house or yard or anywhere and record up to 4 minutes of digital sound, bring it back to the PC, connect it, and then they can morph these sounds with funny sound effects and other things of that nature. All those products will be at the CES show at our booth as well. So Intel, I'd like to ask people to start changing their view of Intel. We're more than brain chips. We're in a whole lot of consumer areas, and more surprises to come at the show as well in the next week or so.
Nice. Very nice. I always thought that there was a, I mean, I always thought that I got toys from Intel.
Toys of, yeah, there are toys. I know exactly what you mean. As a guy and a geek, I totally understand. Right.
Okay, let's go back to cameras.
Yes.
And what can't a camera do? I mean, a digital camera do?
Right. I think, and again, that goes into price category. Earlier, and I'm glad you reminded me of this, I was saying the important thing for consumers to understand about digital cameras that are out there today, and let's talk about the ones that most consumers are buying, the $500 and under range product, all the way down to our PC cameras at the very low end that hook up to your personal computer and give you a chance to get started in all of this. What I still believe and still tell consumers is, a lot of consumers ask me, well, gosh, does this mean I can throw away or discard or stop using my 35-millimeter film camera that I've had for years and years? And I recommend keep both because each does a certain function. It meets a certain need. The digital cameras, where you don't want to say run into problems, but where things get interesting with a digital camera today in the price range of $500 and under is when you go to print these pictures, because for me, for my family, and particularly my wife and my children, a photograph isn't, quote-unquote, real to them until it's on paper and in a scrapbook or in a family album. That's still our culture. We still think and feel that way about photography, and that's not bad. And when you go to print a color photograph from a digital camera, you get varying results based on resolution. It gets a little more technical and gets into a lot of areas of what kind of printer you're using, how much its capabilities are, and on and on and on. So I think the thing I recommend to families today is keep your 35-millimeter camera, but then learn to understand and further appreciate what a digital camera can do for you. And that's where I talk about photographs, images, and even short little digital movies that are Internet-ready, perfect for the Internet in terms of being attachments to email or embedded into these fun Internet postcards and greeting cards that you may have received this past holiday season from friends, and also family websites and even small business websites. That's where digital photography shines, because when you look at a digital picture, even from a modest digital camera, and you look at it on the computer screen, as you may know from your own experience, it's really very, very satisfying. Mm-hmm. So the qualifier here is just be a little cautious about what your expectations are when you go to print these pictures and what they're going to look like in their final printed form. Although, with that said, trying to be very, very honest, but I have been very pleased with some of the results I've been able to get, even with our low-cost PC cameras like the Pocket PC camera I mentioned before.
Okay, yeah, there are many times when people ask me what they should buy for web pages and things like that, tell them buy the lowest thing you can buy, because if you buy the expensive one, you still have to degrade the picture in order to put it on the web.
Yeah, and by degrading it really is a question of compressing its data file,
right?
Because if you take, for example, let's talk about something like we'll geek out for a second, a 1024 pixels by, 1024, 768 or some you know, aspect ratio like that. When you get into that kind of resolution of a picture, you're looking at a full floppy of data, about a 1.5 megabytes, roughly speaking.
Yeah.
So now you know what that's like trying to send that over the Internet, especially if you're still connected via a regular telephone line.
Right.
That's a large file to transfer around.
Right.
And similarly, it's a large file to ask your recipients to download,
correct.
Unless they're on broadband. If you're on broadband, hey, you're in happy land already, but for most of us, we're still on the good old analog dial-up line.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't work like it's supposed to. Not yet. Not with that.
We're all trying to get to broadband, and believe me,
We will.
There are some spectacular benefits. Going back to the Pentium 4 briefly, when you have a broadband connection and a Pentium 4 processor, and you have one of the many major plugins, the Java and the all these other plugins and so forth that have been optimized for the new capabilities of the Pentium 4, you can get some stunning results. I've seen some examples. There's a fascinating website your listeners might enjoy going to. It's www.pulse3d.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and take a look at that 3D animation content. Their plugin is going to be optimized for the Pentium 4. That means it's going to take advantage of those parts of that 144 new capabilities. And you can go from a small, like a third of the screen playback, to full screen playback with the Pentium 4. So that's an example of where this power has purpose beyond games. It's also going to impact multimedia. That's a trend I think that's not going to stop. If we can get deployment of broadband to a wider segment of the population that it exists today, and I think everyone's very frustrated at how slow this is, has been. But nonetheless, once we get there, we're going to have some internet, web, multimedia-delivered experiences that are going to be just remarkable. And that's something that the Pentium 4 is designed for, where the internet is going, not where we're at necessarily right now today.
It'll happen. It's going to happen.
That's right.
Ralph, we have about a minute. Anything else you wanted to add?
I think the other thing, as we mentioned briefly in passing earlier, is home networking. Check this out. If you haven't learned about this yet, you may want to do so. The Consumer Electronics Association did a survey of about 1,000 consumers in April of this year and found that the overwhelming majority are very, very interested in doing this. If you haven't learned about that, come on out and learn about it. You can learn that at our website at www.intel.com.
Home networking.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ralph. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime.
This was really good, exciting, good information.
All right.
Go back to bed now.
Back to my email.
Ralph Vaughn, Consumer Education Manager at Intel Corporation. Have a happy new year.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, *850 on your Bell cell phone, Bell to DCS phone, #850 on your Altel cell phone. And these are free calls. We pay for them. That was an interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
To talk to Ralph. Good morning. You're on Computers 2000.
I'm Clark. I have a computer question for you.
Go ahead.
I've been having trouble with my printer. I can turn my computer on and my printer works okay for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then 30 minutes later I'll come back to it and it'll say it's out of paper. But it's not out of paper.
What kind of printer?
It's a laser, HP Laser 5C.
That normally happens when there is a little bitty sensor at the paper tray.
Yeah.
It's just like a lever.
Yeah.
And they stick, and if it thinks that it may just be a piece of dust in there because it's an optical thing?
Well, I think it's not that because I've put another printer on it. It does the same thing, but I can reboot the computer and it does okay for a while, but then it quits again. But I've tried it with two different printers. It does the same thing.
Oh. Well, it may be cable. It may be printer port. It may be computer.
Okay.
I don't think it's the operating system, though. What happens when it says that and you pull out the 5 has a cartridge, a tray?
It has a tray, yes.
What happens if you pull it out and push it back in?
Same thing. Nothing I can do to make it
I would look at that cable. Did you change the cable also or just the printer?
When I changed printers, I changed cables also, yes.
No,
I believe I didn't. I still have the same cable.
Yeah, change the cable because it may be that particular lead that senses the paper...
Uh-huh.
Is messed up.
Okay.
So change the cable and see. I would say it's probably the cable then.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2000 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, *850 on your Bell cell phone, Bell to DCS phone, #850 on your Altel cell phone. And these are free folks. Boy, that show just flew by, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Time flies when you have fun.
Well, when you have Intel inside.
So we're going to be computers 2K1.
I like it.
2K1. I wonder how long am I going to say computers 2000. Every year it's the same thing.
I know. It just happens, doesn't it?
What if you come with a name that won't change, but I can come up with something that...
I've got it. Computers ME, Millennium Edition.
I don't know about that.
To Microsoft.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, Amnon.
Hey,
Larry.
Liam. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, I've got a question. I was sitting here with both computers off, listening to you guys, and I saw my lights on my dial-up modem, which is still on my Pentium 200,
yeah,
but hadn't been used ever since I've had Roadrunner, and the lights are blinking. And everything's turned off on the computer, but the TD and the CD lights are alternately blinking. Now, is it receiving and transmitting data?
No.
We're after you.
No, not if your computer is off.
Well, I turned it on. They still, and of course, I get the desktop showing, and they're still blinking.
No.
But
turn it off. Forget about it.
I can't really.
Turn it out.
I'm paranoid, Amnon. I've told you that.
It's the phone company. We're after you.
Disconnect the phone line from it.
Okay, I'll try that.
That'll do it.
I'll bet you it'll keep on showing that. You probably need to turn the modem off and back on.
Okay. You all have a good show on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dan. Janet. Thanks for calling. All right. If anybody's still interested in, those of you that are interested in web-based training, go to www.deltaforce.net and click on web-based classes. Still $119.95 a year for everything, and I'm still waiting to have a guest from the company to talk to us.
They haven't found us yet.
We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. Don't worry. We'll do it.
We need to train them.
If you're interested in a very limited 10 hours a month, free internet, again, www.deltaforce.net and click on free internet. And by the way, so I had a Hal called, and I sent an email, and now Net Zero is beginning to charge. They're giving you so many hours, I think 40 hours a month, and after that you're going to have to start paying. So Blue Light charges, Net Zero charges. I mean, of course, it's you're not going to get something for nothing.
Fairy tales have ended.
Yeah. Let's take something real quick here. George.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Enjoyed the show. My wife brought home a PC from work. It's got NT on it.
Right.
But we have it for the setup for the kids.
So you want to put 98 on it, or 95.
Right, right.
You're going to have to F-disk it and then format it.
Okay.
And then load 95.
Okay.
But you have to do an F-disk.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
All it takes.
Okay, so I reformat the whole drive then?
You have to F-disk before you format the drive. Yeah, you have to reformat the whole drive.
Okay. All right, then. I was wondering if there's an easier way to do it.
It's not that hard to do.
Just right. Takes time.
It's really not hard. It's just time-consuming, depending on the size of the drive. It's really not, it's not rocket science. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
Sure, George. Have a happy new year. What else?
I don't know. This is New Year's Eve. I hope everybody is going to stay safe and sane.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe, what are you doing tonight?
Your dad is listening.
There's something going on tonight?
I don't know. I'm just asking, you know, wondering what the young...
I don't know. What day is it?
Sunday.
Okay.
Well, if it's Sunday, I got to study for class. Oh, wait. No, it's New Year's.
Yeah, it's New Year's.
Actually, I'm not going to do much. I've grown out of the whole must party, get
okay.
drunk, and get
all
women
right.
phase of
you know,
New Year's.
You know what that means?
Huh?
You're becoming an adult.
I know, that's kind of sad.
No,
up.
It's not.
It's good.
No, it's
good
not.
For you.
It's fine.
Stay home and watch Austin
it's
Powers.
It's not like you've never done it and you're becoming an adult. It's you did the crazy things.
I mean, I don't know how many times I can see the nut drop over at first night. I mean, come on.
That giant acorn.
I've been here for 5 years. I've seen it two times, and I'm like,
okay.
I'm not doing this again.
They're just going to hoist it back up for the next year, right?
Ooh, it's a big nut. And, you know, they can't even do it real classy. Like, they have to have a huge crane just drop it down lightly. That is so ghetto.
Get kiddo. I need to get you together with my daughter. What am I saying?
Yeah, be careful about that. It's like having Bill Clinton
get over. No, no. I wish it was a little younger.
Him?
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. We're coming to the end of the show here.
To the Empress of Email, to Ethan, to Rebecca, Happy New Year, everybody.
And Happy New Year to you, too.
And to you, too, Emma.
And Joe, to you, too.
And to Bill.
And everybody. Oh, boy.
The BG.
Okay, enough, Larry. I'm going to turn off my mic. To the that's it. Last show for the year 2000.
Are we going to be Computers 2K1 when we come 2K1.
Back? 2K1. When we come back, we're going to be 2K1.
Barring any Y2K1 glitches.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't think anything's going to happen. But anyway, if you didn't get through, email me, amnon@850thebuzz.com. Thank you for turning in to the 850 The Buzz, the voice of the Hurricanes, and to Computers 2000. And thank you, Joe, for producing. As usual, practice safe computing, back up your hard drive, and don't forget to use a virus scanner. We'll be back here next Sunday as Computers 2K1 at 8 o'clock. Until then, keep your dial right here on the station that brings you Imus in the Morning, The Sports Babe, Mike Solarte, Adam Gold, Morgan Patrick, ESPN, and more. Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. And good morning, Kathy and Hannah.